Last week we had a question at the beginning of the service for you to discuss and feedback. This morning we have another question. The question is this: if you could be remembered for one thing after you've died, what would it be and why? One thing, what would it be and why? Feel free to discuss with people around you, or you could just sit and think. I'll give you a few moments. Okay, if you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be? Miranda. Kindness and helpfulness. Oh, that's made everyone think now, Miranda. I think they were coming out with triviality, and now you've brought us to a good point. Anyone else, if you could be remembered for one thing, two things, if you can't think of one. Honesty. Love. I would have said love. That's a good one, yes. Biscuit baking. Rowan. Can I come round for some biscuits? Because that must be good. Sock knitting. You knit socks? Oh, I didn't know that. Do you do them to order? No, okay. Okay, anything else? No? Well, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at... Oh, Miranda! Oh, that's true. Well, that's true. Actually, I think... faithfulness. Is that right? Okay, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at different people who were remembered for specific things. Now, they're obviously bigger than one word, but they were remembered for specific things. And this morning, we will be thinking about someone in a moment. But first of all, we're going to play a game. Anyone ever played the game Articulate? Oh, another go, I see. So, words. There we were using words. We were using words to describe words. Do people think words are important? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not very important and 10 being very important, how important would you say words are? 10. Anyone below 10? Anyone 7? Anyone below 7? 6? 5? 5? 4? Anyone below 4? Okay. 2? 2. So we've got, in the room, on a scale from 2 to 10, how important words are. Okay. Words are important. Would you say words were more important than actions? Yes? Yes over here? Lots of no? Actions or words? Words can be pressed. Yes? Yes? So, undecided. Some say more important than actions, some say not. Some say words are important as 10, top of the scale, others 2. But words are an important part of life, would you say? Would we agree on that? Or generally, yes. I want to tell you a story now about a young boy called Charles. And his words changed people's lives. Charles was born in 1834, quite a long time ago. Anyone remember that year? No. Just joking. He was born in Essex, and he was the son of a minister. There we go. He was a very clever boy, and he spent a lot of his time reading. Mainly, he read books about the Bible. Having a father as a minister, I guess there were lots of those about. One of his favourite novels, however, was The Pilgrim's Progress, linked, possibly, to biblical travels. His grandfather was also a minister, so Charles knew a lot about the church, about the Bible, and about Christian life. However, didn't believe in God. He knew a lot, but he wouldn't say that he believed in God. But when he was 15, he was caught in a snowstorm. And he stumbled into the nearest building because it was extremely cold. The nearest building happened to be a Methodist church. He sat down, trapped inside the building, as the minister presented the sermon for the day. Partway through the sermon, the minister looked directly at Charles. I thought I might try this on the odd week. And said these words, "Young man, you look very miserable, and you always will be miserable. Miserable in life and miserable in death if you don't obey the text I am speaking on. Young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but to look and live." That day, Charles gave his life to Jesus Christ. And 1 year later, at the age of 16, he became the minister of Water Beach Baptist Church, just up the road. A village that when he went there, Charles described as notorious for its drunkenness and profanity. I'm in the wrong place. Joking, joking. However, 2 years later, when he left the little Baptist chapel in Water Beach, the village was transformed. And the chapel, which had been empty, was full of people because of Charles's preaching. Charles then left the Fens to go to London, where at the age of 19, he became the minister of the Metropolitan Tabernacle, the biggest Baptist church in the country at the time. Of course, by this time, he was no longer simply known as Charles. He was known as Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon. He's not simply known as a minister either. He was known as a wonderful preacher. People queued for hours to hear him speak. They queued in the week. They queued on Sundays. They queued for hours. Because he could preach, his words were very good. He was known as the Prince of Preachers. This was his gift. And over his lifetime, it is estimated that he preached to millions of people. He did over 3,600 sermons in his lifetime. And his largest crowd was 23,654 people. Bear in mind, this was a long time ago, so that's a lot of people. He preached up to 10 sermons a week. Exhausting. He used his words very well. Of course, there were down times during his ministry. He was attacked in the media for his controversial sermons. On one occasion, he witnessed 7 people die in a stampede when people were crowding to come and hear him preach. He often suffered from depression. And towards the end of his life, he was very ill, so couldn't get out very much. But Charles Spurgeon didn't give up on preaching because he knew that his words were so important and they were so effective as well. There's a book about him that's been written, and I just want to read an excerpt of when he went to preach on the Isle of Bute in Scotland. When the time came for the service to begin, it was clear that a staggeringly large crowd had gathered. No one is sure exactly how large, but there were perhaps as many as 20,000 people, and they were not disappointed, for when Spurgeon preached, he did so with what one observer described as marvellous power. It was a telling description for 2 reasons. Firstly, and amazingly, everyone in the vast crowd seemed to be able to hear him. And this was in the days before microphones and PAs. And secondly, thousands of those gathered sensed that God was speaking directly to them through the preacher. Here was marvellous power indeed. Charles had a gift with words, but they only had an impact because all those years ago he'd given his life to Jesus Christ, and God used his words to change lives. One thing I love about words is quotes. I used to collect lots of different quotes in a little book because, you know, sound bites, quotes, things that will stick in the memory. And Charles Spurgeon has lots of quotes proving his worth as a good preacher, I guess. There are some here. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. Why can't I think of things like that? Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. It is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. I need to start working on ones, don't I? Things to take away. When you see a man with a great deal of religion displayed in his shop window, you may depend upon it he keeps very little stock of it within. I like that one. You might not always get what you want, but you always get what you expect. A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you when forget-me-nots have withered. Carve your name on hearts, not on marble. That's a great quote, isn't it? Kate Lees. No, it's not to happen. If we cannot believe God when circumstances seem to be against us, we do not believe him at all. Just a few of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's quotes. Because some people have a way with words, don't they? It's a gift. And when used in the right way, it can be very effective. But that doesn't mean that for the rest of us, words are unimportant. If we haven't got the gift for words, it doesn't mean that our words don't matter. Because whoever we are, whether we're Charles Haddon Spurgeon or Martin Luther King Jr. or a poet laureate, all normal people, everyday words that we use are very important. And we know this because our world is saturated in words. We have books, computers, text messages, magazines, papers, poetry, adverts, signs, social messaging, song lyrics, manuals, subtitles. Our lives, our country, our world, whether we like it or not, whether we think it's right or not, is full of words, whether they're spoken, read, listened to, or written. We're saturated in words, and therefore that makes them important. Whether we think they should be, they are when we live our lives. But words are also important, not only because there's lots of them and lots of ways in which we can get hold of them, but because of what they can do in people's lives. Charles Haddon Spurgeon knew that, and he used them for good most of the time. But he also knew these words came with a great responsibility. There's a passage in the Bible which talks specifically about the words that we use. It's from the book of James. And it says this: "Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of strong winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. This is scary,
You can tame a tiger, but you cannot tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild. With our tongue we bless God our Father. With the same tongue we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. Words.
The way we use them, the things we say, the people we comment on, it's so important. And we know this, don't we? I mean, how many times have we wished we'd never said anything? How many times have we wished we could just take that one thing back? How many times have we hoped that no one would find out that it was us that actually said that? How many times have our words caused us problems or restless nights thinking about what we've said to someone? How many times have we recognised that we've said just that little bit too much? I always say to myself, Kate, don't ad-lib in church. It always goes wrong. We can count the times. Well, we can't. They're numerous. With our tongue we bless God our Father. With the same tongue we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Words and the way we speak to each other is so important. They can so easily damage and destroy. But on the other hand, as Charles Spurgeon knew, words are so important because they can build up and they can transform. There's a story about the lady who became Miss America in 1980. Not sure you'll know this bit of information, but if you follow Miss America, you might. Cheryl Pruitt became Miss America in 1980. When she was 4 years old, the story goes that she used to hang around her father's shop, grocery store. And daily, the milkman would come in to deliver the milk, and he'd see her in the store, and he'd say, "How's my little Miss America?" Every time he came in, "How's my little Miss America?" Of course, then, whether it became a childhood fantasy or whether it was just something that happened in 1980, she stood there as Miss America. Now, I'm not saying that being Miss America is very important. It is for some people, not for everyone. And I'm not saying that those three or four or five words set the course for someone's life. But things that go in every day, things that people say to us, they make a difference. The way we speak to people, the way we treat them, our choice of words can make a huge difference way past the time that we said them. We're going to watch a short DVD which is called The Power of Words and makes a point that the words we use can have an impact. The words we use can make a big difference. Even phrasing something differently, thinking before we speak, thinking who we're speaking to and what impact it might have on their lives.